Romans chapter 8. And our text for this morning is found in the 9th verse. Romans 8 and verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And our text is the second sentence there of that verse 9. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I'm sure as we read together these verses from Romans 8 that you noticed that Paul gave a variety of names and titles to the Holy Spirit of God. You look there in verse 2, the third person of the Trinity is called the Spirit of Life. Now here in our text in verse 9, he is called the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Paul then gives the Holy Ghost another title in verse 15. There he is called the Spirit of Adoption. So here in the first 15 verses of Romans 8, we have four titles given to the Holy Spirit. But it is the title in our text that I want to consider with the Lord's help this morning. For there in verse 9, the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of God. And then in the very next sentence, he is called the Spirit of Christ. We may ask ourselves, why the change? Why Spirit of God in one sentence? Then the Spirit of Christ in the next. It may be explained by saying that the great secret to the beauty and glory of the life of the Lord Jesus was that he lived in constant fellowship with the Spirit of God. His life displayed that. His life demonstrated that. He was born of the Spirit. He was sustained by the Spirit. He was anointed with the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then returned in the power of the Spirit to carry on his work. This he did throughout his 30-odd years upon earth. This he did until, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot unto God, Hebrews 9 and verse 4. So the Lord Jesus acted in constant cooperation with the indwelling Spirit of God, never resisting, never grieving, never quenching the Spirit. What then was the result of such living? What was the result of Christ's life living in the power of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, being anointed by the Spirit. What was the result of that? The Spirit of God became manifest in the Spirit of Christ. While the phrase does refer to the actual person of the Holy Spirit, the phrase we mean, the Spirit of Christ, it certainly refers to the Spirit of God. Nevertheless, it refers to His person in the manifestation of character wrought in the mind of Jesus Christ. When you looked at the Spirit of Christ, you saw the Spirit of God. When you wanted to know anything about the Spirit of God, you don't need to look at the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ manifested the Spirit of God. Now Paul says that we do not live according to the flesh. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And if we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, we then must manifest the Spirit of Christ. In other words, what we see in Jesus Christ, whose life was led in full cooperation with the Spirit of God, that same Spirit ought to be seen in us. We who have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, the Spirit we received in salvation, for we have become the temple of the Holy Ghost. Therefore, in our day-to-day living as Christians, we are to manifest and reveal the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is to be seen in us. But when we look at the words which Spurgeon described as the most solemn verse in all of Scripture, for the words read, "But if ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." That's all right. But it's the second sentence of the verse that is most searching, most heart-searching, and most solemn. For Paul says, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ," Paul says, "he is none his." So that if the Spirit of Christ does not manifest in those who profess to be believers, Paul says, he is none of his. We must manifest the Spirit of Christ. So we want to look at the Spirit of Christ this morning. We want to look at the Spirit of God, the person and the work of the Holy Ghost, as is seen in the life of Christ. For the Spirit of God is seen as the Spirit of Christ. There is no difference. May we and may others behold the Spirit of Christ in us. Let us first of all then consider the Spirit as revealed in the ways of Christ. We know that if we want to know how we ought to live as Christians, why we are to read the Word of God. We're to study the Word, for the Word is a mirror. The Word reveals to us what we are. The Word also reveals to us what we ought to be as believers. If you want to know how we ought to live as Christians, as believers, then we ought to focus on Jesus Christ, for we're bearing His name, Christians. We're followers of Christ. We are to be conformed to the image of His person as Christians. That's what we want to do this morning. We want to focus in on Christ and behold the Spirit of Christ and say, then is the Spirit of Christ in me? Do I indeed have the Spirit of Christ? We want to look at the Spirit of God as revealed in the ways of Christ. When the Savior began to preach, He began, of course, at home. His earthly home was Nazareth, where He had been brought up. That's where He began His ministry, Nazareth, in the synagogue there. And the minister handed Him the book, the scroll, the scriptures. And the Lord Jesus opened the scroll, or opened the book, at Isaiah 61. And then He began to read from Isaiah 61. The Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And then whenever He had finished reading, He closed the book and He told the congregation that on that particular day, that prophecy had been fulfilled. In other words, Isaiah was speaking about Christ the Messiah, and Jesus said, the words of Isaiah are now fulfilled, for the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. Christ was saying, the Spirit of God is resting on me. The Spirit of God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the prison of the captives. The Spirit of God was on Christ. So that everything that Christ did, He had the Spirit resting upon Him. That means that as the God-man, as people looked upon Jesus Christ, what did they see? As they looked upon His ways, they first of all saw a man who had a godly spirit. Christ, of course, is the God-man. He is sinless. He is without sin. He could not sin. And as men looked upon Him, they saw Him that He had this godly spirit. This godly Spirit about Him. Colossians 2 verse 9 tells us that in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So that whoever looked upon Christ, no matter who looked upon Him, whether it was enemy or friend, they beheld in Christ this godly spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ. A godly spirit. Do we have the Spirit of Christ? Do we exhibit that godly spirit in our day-to-day walk. If we want to see a picture of true godliness, then we must look to Jesus Christ. There was nothing hollow or empty about Christ's godliness. When I say there was nothing hollow about His godly spirit, I mean that He was all godliness through and through. Everything which He did spoke of His godly spirit. Everything. No matter what Christ did, dear believer, no matter what He did, no matter what He said, everything revealed His godly spirit. Unlike those whom Paul referred to in the second letter to Timothy. For there Paul wrote of some that had, quote, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5. They had a form of godliness. Let's take that word form. The word form means appearance. They had the appearance of being godly. They had the appearance of this godly spirit. But that's all it was. It was only an appearance. It was hollow. It was empty. Like the mannequins that display clothes in a window, in a shop window. They look real from the outside. There's emptiness inside. There's nothing there. It's just a form. Paul here speaks about those who have a form or the appearance of godliness. You look at Jesus Christ. He didn't just have the appearance of godliness. Christ was godly. And that, believer, is the spirit of Christ. And you and I as believers, none of us are exempt. Every one of us who profess to know the Lord, or to ask ourselves in the light of this word, do we display that same spirit of godliness? That's the spirit of Christ. There was nothing hollow about His godliness. There was nothing hypocritical about His godliness. There were those in our Lord's day who had an appearance of godliness about them, but it was all a pretense. You turn with me, please, to Matthew 23. The words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 23. In verse 27, now let us remember the Lord Jesus is here speaking about men who were very religious. They regarded themselves as being the most religious of men. Yes, they were religious. But religion doesn't mean a man is godly or spiritual. There are millions of people in this world who are religious, but they don't know the first thing about redemption. They're religious, but there's no godliness there. And so the Lord is here speaking about those who were religious. Indeed, they were the religious leaders of the Lord's day. Men who believe that salvation came through the keeping of the law. And they kept the law meticulously, as they believed. This is what the Lord had to say about them. Matthew 23 and verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Scribes and Pharisees, and the Lord called them hypocrites. Why? For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. The Lord said you were like the whited sepulchres. From the outside you're beautiful. Yes. Admired. They were beautiful. They appeared righteous unto men. But the Lord said, within ye are full of hypocrisy. You may be like a whited sepulchre, beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of rottenness, full of dead man's bones. That was the Savior's description of these religious individuals. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart, because God's the only one who can see the heart. Dear believer, this morning, does the Lord see that Spirit of Christ in our hearts? That Spirit of godliness. For that godly spirit that was seen in Christ reached right into the very quick of his heart. Christ was godly through and through. We are to be like him. Have you ever lamented, believer? For I have. Have you ever lamented how unlike Christ you are? When you read his life, and read about his labors, and you were told so much about him, and my, we recognize how unlike we are to Christ. When men looked upon the Lord, they saw in him a godly spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ. When they looked upon him, they saw one as having a gracious spirit. That's the Spirit of Christ. When speaking of Christ, Solomon, in his Song of Songs, describes the Lord Jesus in that fifth chapter, one of the most beautiful, wonderful descriptions of the Lord Jesus anywhere in the Bible. And in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, after the bride has described her beloved, and really she's describing Christ, it's as if she has exhausted her vocabulary. And she sums up her description with these words. She says, yea, he is altogether lovely. Altogether lovely. You take that word lovely. The word lovely means desirable. yea, he is altogether desirable. In other words, the bride was describing to the daughters of Jerusalem, her beloved, and describing his loveliness, and she says he's altogether desirable. He has such beauty. That is why the beloved was saying, or the bride was saying, that is why I love him. That is why I search for him. Because he has a beauty that is altogether desirable. There's an attraction about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus had this beauty, this loveliness, that surely every believer desires to have. A beauty that's desirable. Do we not want that beauty? Do we not desire that beauty that Christ has? This is especially true when we look upon the loveliness of His gracious nature. Is this not an area of our lives that we wish we could be more like Him, exhibiting that gracious spirit in our dealings with others? This gracious spirit was seen in him from his childhood days. He was the fairest of the fair, even as a child. But in our blindness, there was no beauty that we should desire him. We couldn't see the beauty of Christ until the Lord, by his grace, opened our eyes. And we saw him and we say, yea, he is altogether lovely. And that loveliness is seen in his gracious nature. This gracious spirit was seen in him, as was said, from his earliest days. Before he was old enough to go up with his earthly parents to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, we read in Luke 2 and verse 40. The child grew. This is description of the Lord Jesus. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And he wasn't even 12 years of age. Even before he was 12, as a child, the grace of God was upon him. That gracious spirit, that gracious nature was seen in him. But the grace of God was not only upon him, the grace of God was in him. John chapter 1 and verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full. The Lord Jesus was full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Notice, when he dwelt among us, Christ dwelt amongst men. And as he dwelt amongst men, men beheld his glory. Men beheld that spirit of grace, that gracious nature, that gracious attitude. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We dwell amongst men. Is that same spirit of grace revealed and seen in us. There was no shortage of grace in Jesus Christ, for He was full of grace. He was reviled. What's our natural response to being reviled? We try to think up of a quick answer to respond to that. If we have a cutting remark aimed at us, the old nature tries to come up with a cutting remark that we can reply or respond with. Said of Jesus, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. That takes grace. There's the spirit of grace in Jesus Christ. When Judas came to the garden to betray the Lord, there's Judas, and he's standing in the garden with this band of thugs behind him, with their swords and their staves and their lanterns. And Judas steps forward to betray Christ with a kiss. None of us like to be betrayed. It's hurtful. It cuts deep. It's a wound that goes deep when we're betrayed. Judas Iscariot betrayed Christ. And that night when Judas stepped forward to betray Christ, how did the Lord Jesus address him? Was He sharp with him? No, He said to Judas' friends, can you imagine? Therefore art thou come. Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took Him away. He had looked the betrayer in the eye. A disciple who had been with Him for over 3 years. Now the Lord looks the betrayer in the eye and calls him friend. You know what that is? That's the Spirit of Christ. That's the Spirit of grace. That took grace to say that. These examples could be multiplied 1,000 times. So in this world, we know there's not much grace in this world. It's a world of hatred. Every man for himself. Let us, in such a world, let us exhibit the Spirit of Christ. For He exhibited the Spirit of grace. We have this, the Lord Jesus, He exhibited that godly spirit, manifested that gracious spirit. Spirit of Christ was also revealed as that gentle spirit. A few weeks ago we considered the fruit of the Spirit. What the Spirit of God produces in the heart, mind, soul, and life of the Christian. It produces the fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You recall that whenever we considered the fruit of the Spirit, we said that we had there a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit produces in the believer, the Spirit of God produces a likeness to Jesus Christ through the producing of His fruit. Because you take each part of what Paul described as the fruit of the Spirit, and it can be applied to the Lord Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Do we not know something today of the love of Christ? Fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. Christ is perfectly happy. We speak of the joy of the Lord. Not our joy in simply knowing the Lord, but Christ giving His joy to us. Love, joy, peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Peace. He gives us His peace. Long suffering. Oh, what a word that is. What a blessed word that is. Long suffering. Wasn't the Lord long suffering toward you and me? For years we ran from Him. For years we turned our back upon Him. For years we fought against Him. He could have cut us off at any time. Maybe you can think back to a time in your own experience whenever you were very near to death, but the Lord spared you. Long suffering. Christ is long suffering. And there it is, gentleness. Love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness. Christ was gentle. Goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. They're all found in Christ. Are they found in us as believers? And the Spirit of Christ revealed that gentleness, that gentle spirit. When addressing the Corinthian church, Paul said, "Now I, Paul, beseech you by the gentleness of Christ." I beseech you by the gentleness of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:1. The sick and the suffering and the sorrowing all experienced the gentleness of Christ as He dealt with them. Every sick person, every sorrowing person, every suffering person who had any dealings with Christ experienced the gentleness of Christ. How gently He dealt with them in meeting their needs. He dealt gently with the fallen. He dealt gently with those who were fearful. He dealt gently with those who were faint. Christ was gentle with everyone. Bless His name. Do we not thank God today for the gentleness of Christ? The gentle spirit. And remember, believer, this is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of gentleness. That's the Spirit of Christ. It's to be in us. If we have God the Spirit dwelling within us, then we're to have that Spirit of Christ, that Spirit of gentleness. He's the gentle physician. For when He healed merely with a touch. Just a touch. A gentle touch. of the gentle Savior. He is a gentle shepherd. Isaiah 40 verse 11, He shall gather the lambs in His arm and carry them in His bosom. What a beautiful picture of Christ. Gather the lambs in His arms and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. How often, believer, has He taken us and carried us in His bosom? Times of deep sorrow and great suffering, when we felt at times we couldn't go on, what did Christ do? Why, He carried us in His bosom. He led His lambs along, and those with young, why, He led them gently along. He's the gentle Master. Mary Magdalene discovered that in the resurrection morning, when she stood there weeping, believing that somebody had stolen away her Lord. And then she saw a stranger. And the stranger says to her, "Why weepest thou?" And she says, "They have taken my Lord, and I know not where they have led Him." And then the Lord Jesus simply said, "Mary." That's all He said. Simply called her name. And she turned around and saw Him and said, "Rabboni," which interpreted means Master. He dealt gently with that tearful woman. Has He not dealt gently with us when we have wept as well? Oh, He's a gentle Savior. Praise His wonderful name. He is that godly Spirit. Do we? He has that gracious Spirit. Do we? And He has that gentle Spirit. Do we? For Paul here tells us, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." That's the word of the living God. Such a word would call, summons us to examine our own hearts. Do I have the Spirit of Christ? It's all important. It's important. We live in a day of easy believism. We live in a day in which people have only to make a decision and rubber stamp, you're a Christian. Doesn't matter how you live. Oh, you can have your sin and still profess to be a Christian. That's not the Spirit of Christ. This is the Spirit of Christ. Having a godly Spirit. Having a gentle Spirit. Having a gracious Spirit. Maybe there's somebody here today and You've never been to the cross. You know nothing of the Christ we're talking about today. You're not saved and you're not a Christian. Well, I'm your servant for the Lord. I'd love to show you the way that leads to Calvary. Show you how you can be saved. And then you'll know all about the one we've been speaking of this morning. Jesus Christ. We see the Spirit of God in the ways of Christ. Godly Spirit, gracious Spirit, and a gentle Spirit. Our time has beaten us. The next Lord's Day, God willing, we want to look at the Spirit of God as revealed in the works of Christ. Let us now bow our heads together in prayer. Our loving and our gracious Father, we return these thanks for our blessed, wonderful, altogether desirable Savior. Lord, we desire more of His likeness. We desire more of His beauty. We desire more of His loveliness. Dear Lord, increase that desire and work in us by Thy Holy Spirit. And indeed make us more like the Lord Jesus. Dear loving Father, we ask Thee to apply the Word to our hearts by Thy Spirit today. And may we meditate upon it much throughout this day. Be pleased, Lord, to bring us back again tonight to worship Thee and to learn more and see more of Him who is altogether lovely. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Take us to our homes or our abodes in safety. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now. And until day breaks and the shadows all flee away, and we see our great King in all His beauty. In His dear name we pray. Amen.